Call the meeting to order. All set. Thank you all. Welcome to the March 27th, 2024, New York City Housing Development Corporation Board Meeting. We will start I'd like the minutes to reflect the presence of a quorum, which I believe we have. And item number two on the agenda, I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting held on November 30, 2023.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Jiha. Second?
Second.
Mr. Gould, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. And now we will move to the third item on the agenda, which is President Enderlin's report.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Commissioner. Thanks to our board members for joining us today, and welcome to our partners who've joined us in person and virtually. As we often do, we have a full agenda of items to present for the board's approval today, all of which will help advance our ongoing work to address the city's housing crisis. The severity of this crisis is driven home by the recent findings of the latest New York City Housing and Vacancy Survey, which was released last month by our partners at HPD. The findings revealed an historically low vacancy rate of 1.4%, the lowest recorded measurement since 1968. While there's extremely low vacancy at the lowest end of the market, overall the survey finds that there is less housing availability across nearly all rent levels, making it harder for low and moderate income New Yorkers in particular to find housing that they can afford. The survey's findings underscore the importance of our continued efforts to increase our city's housing supply at an accelerated pace in order to keep up with growing demand. Given the economic challenges before us and the pressing need for more housing, we must continue to respond proactively with creative solutions while advocating for more resources at every level of government. On that note, I do want to share that the Biden administration announced last month an indefinite extension of the FFB HUD risk share program. Knowing that we can rely on this powerful program for many years to come is a significant victory, as we will be able to finance even more housing using this important financing tool. Turning to today's agenda, after a brief report from the HDC Audit Committee, we'll hear from Senior Vice President for Development, Lauren Connors, who will seek your approval for several items that will enable us to finance various affordable and public housing developments throughout the city. Brian Che, Senior Vice President for Public Housing and Lending Strategies, will then seek your approval of an authorizing resolution that will enable us to finance the preservation of more than 400 units of public housing at the Sackburn development in the Bronx under the NYCHA PACT program. You'll then hear from Michael Rose, Vice President for Preservation Development, who will present for your approval a new preservation refinancing program term sheet. As HDC's portfolio has grown, this proposed new term sheet would standardize the refinancing process for developments in HDC's existing portfolio and thereby help us to address their needs and provide resources in a timely and efficient way throughout the year. Next, our Executive Vice President for Capital Markets and Investments, Ellen Duffy, will present for your approval a ratification of HDC's 2023 annual investment report, which, as noted earlier, was approved by the HDC Audit Committee in January. And finally, Lauren Connors will join us once again to present for your approval a declaration of intent resolution for the acquisition of a newly built development in the Bronx that will ultimately provide 57 households with safe, stable, and affordable homes. I thank everyone for joining us today and for your ongoing partnership as we advance this important work. I'd especially like to acknowledge, as always, the incredible efforts of the entire HDC team, who brings so much talent and creativity to solving the complex and evolving challenges our city faces so that more New Yorkers can find quality, affordable homes. With that, I turn it back over to our board chair, Commissioner Carrion, to take the lead on today's agenda. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, President. And let me attach myself as chair to your closing remarks there about the team here at HDC. We lean on you a lot, sometimes heavily, but we appreciate the incredible work that you folks have done. We had a banner year of production in calendar year 2023. Just the new construction alone, it was in excess of 14,200 new units. I think probably all of them passed through these halls and across here desks and screens. So thank you and a tremendous bounce back in preservation work. We're excited about a new preservation term sheet, but just want to say thank you on behalf of the board as well. We move to item number four on the agenda, which is the report of the audit committee. And for that purpose, I will call on Harry Gould.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The audit committee met on January 18th, 2024, at which time the members 2023 annual financial statements. The auditors, Ernst & Young, issued a clean opinion, and there were no management letter comments once again this year. Also at the January 18th meeting, the 2023 annual investment report was approved, which will be presented for ratification at this meeting. And finally, the 2023 annual HDC audit committee report was approved as well. The members also met prior to this, which fiscal year 2024 second quarter internal audit plan and the internal audit charter were approved. The members also reviewed the 2024 first quarter financials and other investment debt, credit, and internal audit reports.
Thank you, Mr. Gould. Pursuant to the Public Authorities Accountability Act and for the purposes of discussing the next items on our agenda, we will now commence the meeting of HDC's Finance Committee. And we move to item number five on our agenda, which is approval of an authorizing resolution relating to the multifamily housing revenue bonds, 2024 Series A and Series B, and approval of mortgage loans. For these items, I call on Lauren Connors.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve the issuance of the corporation's multifamily housing revenue bonds, 2024 Series A bonds and 2024 Series B bonds in an amount not expected to exceed $486,800,000. The bonds, together with the corporation's unrestricted reserves and available funds of the open resolution, are expected to be used to finance the construction, acquisition, rehabilitation, and or permanent financing of certain projects and other activities described in your memorandum. Interest on the bonds is expected to be exempt from federal and New York state and local income tax, and such bonds will qualify as tax-exempt private activity bonds with a combination of an allocation of new private activity bond volume cap and an allocation of recycled volume cap in accordance with the Housing and Economic Recovery Act of 2008. The anticipated interest rates, maturity dates, and other relevant terms of the bonds are described in your memorandum. In addition, the members are being asked to authorize the corporation to finance one senior, unenhanced, non-accelerating mortgage loan, a SUN loan, for the PAC Sackburn development. If approved, the corporation expects to fund all or a portion of this mortgage loan with proceeds from the 2024 Series A bonds and the remaining portion with its unrestricted reserves or available funds of the open resolution, as further described in your memorandum. The corporation also expects to originate an $89 million loan funded with housing impact bonds, 2024 Series A and B, for which funding approval will be presented to the members by Brian Shea during the housing impact resolution presentation later in this meeting. The members are also being asked to approve an amendment to an action authorized by the members on November 30th, 2023, for the large-scale multi-phase development and refinancing of the Halleds Point development. An authorizing resolution will authorize the 358th and 359th supplemental resolutions. The members previously authorized the origination of one or more participation mortgage loans in an amount not expected to exceed $352 million to finance Halleds Point Buildings 2 and 3, which are part of the large-scale multi-phase Halleds Point development, and the execution of one or more participation agreements with M&T Bank and a to-be-determined lender syndicate to fund a 100% participation interest in the mortgage loans. Halleds Point Buildings 2 and 3 are expected to be subject to the Affordable Housing New York 421A program in connection with Halleds Point Building 7, which was previously financed by the corporation. Members are now asked to authorize the corporation to sell a 100% participation interest in the participation loans to Wells Fargo Bank NA in place of M&T Bank and a to-be-determined lender syndicate pursuant to one or more participation agreements. It is anticipated that all or a portion of the proceeds of the 2024 Series A bonds in an amount not expected to exceed $436,800,000, together with available monies of the open resolution or the corporation's unrestricted reserves, will be used to finance all or a portion of the senior and subordinate mortgage loans for 6 developments. The proceeds will create approximately 326 new rental homes in Brooklyn. A portion of the proceeds will provide additional financing for 1,772 existing or under construction units and developments in Brooklyn and Queens, which the members have previously approved. It is also anticipated that a portion of the proceeds of the 2024 Series A bonds will be used to finance the Sun loan for the PAC Sac Warren development. Depending on market conditions, the corporation may fund all or a portion of the short-term portion of certain senior mortgage loans with its unrestricted reserves. With this funding structure, when the borrower makes a mandatory prepayment upon the project's completion, such prepayment will be available for taxable relending by the corporation to other affordable housing projects. Any future lending for a development that has not been previously approved by the members will be presented for approval to the members before the making of such loan. For more information on these developments, please see attachments 1 through 6. It's anticipated that the 2024 Series B bonds in an amount not expected to exceed $50 million will be issued as a convertible option bond, COB, to preserve tax-exempt recycled volume cap in excess of the amounts currently needed by the corporation in the New York State Housing Finance Agency. If issued, the proceeds of the 2024 Series B bonds are expected to provide construction and permanent financing for the new construction or acquisition and rehabilitation of certain developments, all of which are listed in attachment 7, and which will all meet the low income set aside required to issue private activity taxes and funds. The mortgage loans for these developments have either previously closed with corporate funded loans that will be refinanced with recycled bonds, or are expected to close in 2024, at which point the 2024 Series B bonds are expected to be refunded and remarketed to match the terms of the applicable mortgage loans. Most of the developments listed in attachment 7 will not be funded from the 2024 Series B bond proceeds, but all will be eligible for such financing. The members are being asked to authorize the issuance of the bonds pursuant to multimodal supplemental resolutions. Accordingly, all or a portion of the bonds may be converted to other interest rate modes provided for in the supplemental resolutions, such as a fixed or variable rate. It is anticipated that the 2024 Series A bonds will initially be issued as tax-exempt fixed-rate bonds to finance both the long-term and short-term portions of the 2024 Series A mortgage loans. The 2024 Series B bonds are expected to be issued as variable-rate obligations initially in the term rate mode. More details on the developments, as well as bond underwriters, risks, fees, and credit ratings associated with the bonds are outlined in your memorandum. Are there any questions?
Yeah, let me ask you a question. The PAC Sac Warren project, the preservation project that you have, seems to be very pricey. Very costly. So,
which one?
The PAC Sac Warren. Any reason? And what is it that we. So, that concern that I have, I'm afraid this is going to become the new standard.
And we're going to do a presentation on it in a minute. I don't know if we want to keep that question. But I'll say this up front, and then Brian will do the presentation on it. We understand your concern. We share it. We're partners with NYCHA on developing a lot of the work that goes into these sites, although they are the business lead on it. I would say that we have experience from the pre-pandemic sites that have gone through the round 8 sites that led us to rethink on a couple bases, including quality of the credit and everything else, where maintenance and operating costs should be, how we understood vacancy and back rent, those types of issues, what's happened on construction costs. I think all those forces at this moment conspire to create the experience that you see right now to make sure that they are properly underwritten, and that I think that's the accurate cost. The other piece about it, I would say, and this is subject to further discussion, is ongoing conversation about who gets what out of those deals. So in some ways, and I'll say this carefully, there is, NYCHA has a responsibility in its ongoing operations to both preserve this, the stock that it is moving through this program, but this ongoing responsibility to sustain and stabilize the existing large stock that it holds and conducts its ongoing operations. And because of that, the contracts are doing a little bit of double duty. They're both preserving the deal that you see in front of you, and they're providing resources to NYCHA in order to continue its mission and stabilize its stock. That's the broadest framing I can give it to answer your question. But when we get into projects deal by deal, we can talk more about each of those things.
Yes.
And I would also say that we've always said this to the board, we welcome the board's interest and curiosity about this program and ongoing partnership with us to think through these things, and with NYCHA, quite honestly, as we work with them to do this. So more to come on that.
So we'll hear the presentation and then poke a little bit.
Yep.
Welcome, sir.
1 hour.
Mass transit in New York City.
Back.
Is Susanna
yeah.
Lipsight going to share?
Okay. Are there any other questions? No questions, and Susanna will provide the authorizing resolutions.
Great. Thank you.
The
members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for the adoption of supplemental resolutions to the open resolution, the issuance of the bonds, the pledge to the open resolution of any mortgage loans of the corporation, the terms of any liquidity facility, and other activities listed therein and in the memo before you. The members are requested to authorize the use of available funds of the open resolution or the corporation's unrestricted reserves to finance the Sun loan for the PACT Sackworn development in an amount not expected to exceed $30,560,000. Two senior loans and two subordinate loans for two Ella developments, one supplemental co-senior loan for an existing mixed middle income development, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage related documents and any documents necessary to accomplish such financings. Finally, the members are asked to approve an amendment to an action authorized by the members on November 30th, 2023. To authorize the execution of one or more participation agreements with Wells Fargo Bank NA and a to-be-determined lender syndicate to fund a 100% participation interest in the mortgage loans for the Hallett's Point development. All other aspects of the original authorization remain unchanged. Thank you.
Thank you, Susanna. I will now entertain a motion to approve the authorizing resolution relating to the multifamily housing revenue bonds, 2024 Series A and Series B, and approval of mortgage loans and other actions by the members described in the memo before you.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Gould.
Second.
Thank you, sir. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. We'll now move to item number 6 on the agenda, which is approval of an authorizing resolution relating to the housing impact bonds 2024 Series A and B for the NYCHA PAC Sackworn development and approval of mortgage loans. And for that purpose, I will call on Brian Shea.
Thank you. Good morning, board members. I am pleased to recommend that the members approve the issuance of the corporation's housing impact bonds 2024 Series A in 2024 Series B, and in a combined amount not expected to exceed $89 million, and that the members approve the origination of a permanent senior unenhanced non-accelerating or Sun loan in an amount not to exceed $30,560,000, finance the acquisition, rehabilitation, and permanent financing of the NYCHA development known as Sackworn. Sackworn is part of the Permanent Affordability Commitment Together, or PAC, strategy outlined the 2018 NYCHA 2.0 plan, which describes how the city will reinvest and reposition public housing through Section 8 conversions. Subject to HUD and Freddie Mac approval, the housing impact bond proceeds are expected to fund two mortgage loans not to exceed $89 million. One mortgage loan not to exceed $80,100,000, or 90% of the proceeds, is expected to be secured by supplemental security in the form of a standby credit enhancement agreement issued by Freddie Mac. The other mortgage loan not to exceed $8,900,000 or 10% of the proceeds is expected to be secured by the corporation's general obligation pledge. Repayment of principal and interest on the loans will be allocated first to reimburse the Freddie Mac enhanced loan in full, and second to reimburse the corporation enhanced loan. The two mortgage loans are expected to have a 30-year term. The loans will be interest only for 5 years, after which it will amortize over a 40-year amortization schedule with a balloon due at the end of 30 years. The loans will have a blended interest rate of 6.30% inclusive of the sum loans interest rate. Interest of the 2024 Series A bonds is expected to be exempt from federal and New York State and local income tax, and such bonds will qualify as recycled tax-exempt private activity bonds. Interest on the 2024 Series B bonds is not expected to be exempt from federal income tax, but is expected to be exempt from New York State and local income tax. The sum loan will be senior, unenhanced, and non-accelerable, with fixed principal and interest payments that are designed to mimic real estate taxes. The sum loan will have a 40-year term and will fully amortize after a 5-year interest-only period. The sum loan will not require external credit enhancement because of its high debt service coverage and particularly low repayment risk. The proceeds of the two mortgage loans and the sum loan will be used for the acquisition, rehabilitation, and permanent mortgage for Sac Warren. Sac Warren consists of 7 multifamily, multi-story rental buildings with 411 units and 1 non-residential garage building located in the Townview neighborhood of the Bronx. The proposed rehabilitation work is extensive and is expected to bring significant quality of life improvements to residents, promote energy efficiency, and enhance the development's physical appearance. All the units that comprise Sac Warren will convert to Section 8 operating subsidy through the Rental Assistance Demonstration, also known as RAD program, and Section 18 of the Housing Act of 1937. The development will be supported by 1 or more long-term project-based Section 8 housing assistance payment contracts. As a requirement of the HAB contract, residential units will be reserved for households earning no more than 50% of area median income. The overwhelming majority of existing residents meet this income restriction. Nonetheless, all residents will have the right to remain in their homes after the subsidy conversion. The developer is a partnership between Douglaston Development, Aslan Capital Partners, and Breaking Ground. 2021, NYCHA issued a request for proposal for a developer partner for Sac Warren. This partnership was selected to undertake the rehabilitation.
Brian, I hate to do this. Can you just raise your voice a little bit? I'm having some difficulty hearing you.
The borrower for the project will be ABA Sac Warren LLC, which is comprised of NYCHA and affiliates of the selected development team. NYCHA will continue to hold fee title to the project and will transfer beneficial ownership to the borrower through a 99-year ground lease, which will be executed at or prior to loan closing. Upon conversion, property management will transition to Clinton Management LLC, an affiliate of Douglaston Development, per an agreement with the borrower acceptable to the corporation and NYCHA. The general contractor of the rehabilitation work will be Levine Builders, also an affiliate of Douglaston Development. The construction term is anticipated to be approximately 36 months. Finally, HCC is expected to lend city capital funds as subordinate financing pursuant to a grant. The final closing and sizing of the subsidy is subject to review and approval by the Office of Management and Budget. The risks and fees associated with the development are described in greater detail in the memo before you. Are there any questions?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, permit me to add to my sins in coming late, but I have 2 questions, if I may.
Okay.
First, has the borough president or the borough of the Bronx been notified of this and indicated either support or objection?
So there is a lot of communication that happens, not just with the borough, but also with the community members as part of formulating the RFP. The community has a voting right to, one, the partners that are selected, but also in designing the needs of the scope as part of the initial RFP formulation and release.
Doesn't answer my question, if I may, Ruth. Has the borough president of the borough of the Bronx indicated either approval or rejection of this proposal?
So We can follow up with NYCHA, who does the coordination with the local officials, and we will get an answer to
that. When you do that, would you also please check with the community board that's involved? You know, this is not new for me, is it, point? I believe the communities are entitled to be heard. I don't trust NYCHA worth a damn, never have, never will. And if the community is not given input, there is no hope for this project ultimately. So I will abstain from the vote in the absence of such an indication.
We will get that for you.
Yeah, and let me just say, Mr. Mertler, that
You could trust HDC under you, HPD under your leadership.
Well, that's good to know for the record. Let the record show, Mr. Mertler. I know that there is significant public engagement on the part of NYCHA, because, you know, we often participate with them in that public engagement exercise. So I would be very surprised if the borough president opposes this, let alone I think she probably supports
it. You know, I have made it a practice for decades to communicate with the borough presidents, whoever they may be, whether they be you in your distinguished role as borough president or otherwise, to get their view. I believe that in the case of NYCHA, the input of real community people is absolutely essential. NYCHA is an irresponsible entity, in my view. It gets better, but it ain't there by a damn sight. And if the community is not given that kind of input, I simply have to look. HDC has done a perfectly superb job in the entire, 20 odd years that I've been on this board, without exception. HPD under this chairman and under this commissioner has done an equally superb job. I wish that NYCHA could follow suit. I've seen no indication that it does. And unless the borough president or the community boards indicate that they are not opposed to it or are favorably inclined, I must abstain.
So I would add to what the chair said and what Ruth also indicated. We can make this akin to what we do on a lot of the HPD work, where we actually get that affirmative statement. But what I can tell you is what the commissioner said. There is so much public discussion around this. There's so much opting in and election. In fact, there are developments that kind of compete to get in the pipeline because people want these improvements. And programmatically, that has been discussed at every level. And the tenant association, as you know, at NYCHA is so strong and so interwoven with everything that these get thoroughly vetted almost in a more organic way than even just going to a board, as organic as that may be. So I would say that what we will do, because I hear your question loud and clear, is may have the ability to say affirmatively that we know that someone has taken a position on them.
Thank you. Thank you. And just to add one tiny period at the end of that sentence, the vetting of these projects by the host community is very thorough. And there's a whole voting exercise that goes on. So the host community, the development itself, embraced this. And so I imagine that that will be true also of the community board and the borough president. And you still abstain. okay. Anybody, any other questions for Brian on this? All righty.
There are no questions. Susanna will provide the authorizing.
Could I just one more, because I want to be responsive to the budget director's question too. Just want to point out that this particular project, unlike others, does not have historic tax credits in it. Historic tax credits for the NYCHA work has been a very successful way to reduce the overall subsidy, but it's not guaranteed, right? It's obviously discretionary, it's site by site. It also relied on an opinion by the state about how much could go in per building versus per project, but it's been incredibly useful in lowering the city subsidy, and this does not have the benefit of that. So I want to call that out. But that also, and this is to the point earlier that I said, we would love to have an ongoing conversation. We've said this to NYCHA as well, about the role of equity generally in these. And we've been doing, because of this is the first round and this is permanent affordability, so there's going to be rolling refis, a number of different executions. We collectively with NYCHA have looked at a number of different executions almost on a comparative analysis basis. Like we think it's good to have a couple different executions that are available. We think it's good to have resources like historic credits in some of them, but we also think it's important to track these over time and do that comparative analysis to see which executions may be better or worse, and also to think about the role of different sources in each deal, including the role of equity generally. We're thinking even talking about term sheet potentially in some of them. We've done executions with third-party equity, with tax credit, with historic credit, tax credit equity. So I think there's a full conversation that's evolving and ongoing that will get at a lot of your concerns. And then the other point that I made earlier about what the contract on each site is actually supporting, site specifically versus the ongoing obligation of NYCHA to maintain its housing stock and itself as an organization, which is, as you know, probably better than many, really, really on thin margins at the moment. So
yeah, the concern that I have is the cost per unit.
Yep.
And it's so expensive for preservation that I'm just trying to figure out exactly what's causing.
Yeah.
What is the root cause? This is about like over $700,000 per unit.
Yeah. Well, this is a
preservation. I mean, it's significant. It's a lot of money. And the concern that I have, this has become the new standard.
Yeah, we're experiencing, and I'm glad you brought it up, Jacques, because this is something we have to deal with as a city. The costs in general have gone up 30-40%, and we've seen it in the couple of cycles that I've been commissioner of HPD. And then on top of that, you know, we have the insurance cost crisis that everybody's facing on the operating side, but whether it's labor, materials, services related, all of it, and then the cost of money.
The other thing, and this gets a little bit wonky, and we can take this elsewhere too, is that the analysis on NYCHA about preservation versus new construction often hinges on the fact that NYCHA units are on average much larger than other new construction units. So the analysis looks different if you look at it on a unit basis or square footage basis. And so there is an evolving conversation about ultimately in some of the really costly cases, replacing it and building new construction, which has also got its own expense to it. But that's a difficult conversation because tenants for a long time, you have to kind of build that trust and make sure that people have improved housing quality and get some of these renovations done and demonstrate that before you can have a fuller discussion about where it might be important to do new construction. But I do think that's, you probably hear the same thing from NYCHA. I think that's an emerging conversation that gets to the heart of whether it's more cost effective to rebuild some of this versus to rehabilitate some of it at the end of the day. Particularly after LIHTC.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you factor into that, if I may?
Yes, sir.
Do you factor into that the time lag between new construction and occupancy as compared with continued occupancy through rehabilitation?
That's a huge piece of it, the time and also the swing space that you need. New York is, we just talked about a 1% vacancy. It's not like there's a lot of swing space where you can empty a development to rebuild it.
Yeah.
So you've got all of that in there. And you've also got the what's described as the latent value of the existing building. The idea of rebuilding that entirely when a lot of the actual structures are still pretty good, they just don't have great layouts. They have weird sizes in some case, weird unit mix. So all that stuff goes into making it a pretty complicated conversation, but we're happy to have that. And we do brief the board, as you guys know, sometimes individually or together on NYCHA regularly. And we, you know, like to get into a more like a quarterly or a semi-annual.
I think that would be good. Yeah.
Okay. This is also something that we've been tracking just as part of the PACT portfolio. And we have developed reporting methodologies to actually get a lot more real-time information from the development on time. And I think our goal is to really consolidate that information and be able to use to track cost, operating expenses, just these deals through their life cycle, not just from closing, but also once they're stabilized. And as Eric mentioned, I think last year we all met with you individually and sort of did a presentation on what we've done to date and the status, and the goal is to do that again individually or jointly to sort of put together something of what we've done to date through 2024, cost, et cetera, of the portfolio.
Thank you. Okay, I think hearing no other questions at the moment, Susanna is going to walk us through the member authorization language.
Thank you, Commissioner. Members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for the adoption of supplemental resolutions to the Housing Impact Fund resolution, the issuance of the bonds, the execution of the HDC funding agreement, and other activities listed therein and in the memo before you. The members are asked to authorize the use of the corporation's general obligation pledge in an amount not to exceed $8,900,000 plus any interest on the HDC enhanced mortgage loan due. The members are requested to approve the making of loans in an aggregate amount not to exceed $89 million, which may be initially financed with the corporation's unrestricted reserves until the issuance of the bonds. The members are asked to authorize origination of the Sun loan in an amount not to exceed $30,560,000. And for all of the authorizations requested above, the members are requested to approve the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish such financings. Thank you.
Thank you, Susanna. I will now entertain a motion to approve the authorizing resolution relating to the Housing Impact Bonds 2024 Series A and Series B for the New York City Housing Authority PACT SAC WERN development and approval of mortgage loans and other actions by the members described in the memo before you.
Move.
Thank you, Mr. Gould. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, sir. Any opposed?
Abstention.
There's an abstention. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? We have one abstention. The motion carries. Okay, now we move to item number 7 on our agenda, which is the approval of the preservation refinancing program, also described as a new term sheet. And for that purpose, I call on Michael Rose.
Thank you. And please refer to the black line memorandum in front of you. I am pleased to present for the members' approval a proposal for the delegation of programmatic authority to the corporation's credit committee to approve loans made under a new preservation refinancing program term sheet. The preservation refinancing program, or PRP, will enable HDC to make timely interventions on affordable housing projects within the corporation's portfolio by providing much needed rehabilitation financing for capital work and facilitating the provision of HPD city capital through subordinate grant loans. The members are asked to authorize the creation of the preservation refinancing program under which loans will be made an aggregate amount not expected to exceed $100 million per year for an initial period of 5 years. Any further extension of the programmatic authority would be presented to the members for approval at that time. All or a portion of the construction and permanent loans funded under this program may initially be funded by the unrestricted funds of the corporation in order to provide senior secured financing to eligible projects, both rentals and cooperatives. Such financing will in many cases be accompanied by subordinate debt originated by the corporation, but funded with grants from HPD. As HDC's portfolio has grown, HDC development has been working for some time to create a term sheet that would address the needs of the portfolio while creating efficiencies of execution and resources. The PRP term sheet will be a useful tool as it will enable HDC to close conforming preservation loans at any time during the calendar year. The terms of the preservation refinancing program are consistent with the corporation's conservative underwriting standards and are detailed in the memorandum and term sheet before you. Additionally, all loans will require the corporation's credit committee approval, and conforming loans could still be presented to the members for approval when the project closing timeline aligns with HDC board meetings. The corporation would commit to providing annual reporting to the members of all the loans funded under the programmatic authority described in this memo. All loans greater than or equal to $25 million would be presented to the members for authorization prior to closing. Further details on the terms and risks of this proposal are outlined in the memo before you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Michael. You all have the memo before you that describes the preservation refinancing program. If you have any questions. I'm hearing none. I will entertain a motion to approve. Is there a question?
Just gonna recite, I think, the authorizations here.
Okay, I didn't see that.
The members are requested to approve, one, the delegation of programmatic authority to the corporation's credit committee to approve the making and funding of refinancing and rehabilitation mortgage loans for projects within HDC's portfolio that conform to the preservation refinancing program term sheet. Two, the use of the corporation's unrestricted reserves, available monies in the open resolution, or obligations or bonds of the corporation in an amount not to exceed $25 million per project and not to exceed $100 million per year for an initial term of 5 years. And third, the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage-related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish the making and funding of such loans under the PRP program.
Thank you, Michael, for reading that into the record. And now I will entertain a motion to approve the preservation refinancing program.
Moved.
Thank you, sir. A second?
Second.
Thank you, sir. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. And I'll take the privilege of the chair to say I'm very excited about a preservation term sheet. We have a lot of work to do to preserve older housing in New York City, where most New York City renters live. So it's about Housing Development Corporation's 2023 annual investment report. And for that report, I will call on Ellen Duffy.
Thank you. The New York City Housing Development Corporation is submitting its annual investment report for the corporation, and it's a the areas pursuant to section 29 of the state operation.
Authorization language, or
just
pretty clear.
Yeah, no, you can just ask for the motion.
Okay. I will now entertain a motion to ratify the audit committee's approval of the New York City Housing Development Corporation's 2023 annual investment report.
So moved.
Thank you, sir. A second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? What do opposed people say? Nay? A good old fashioned nay, right? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. With the item number 9 on the agenda, which is an approval of a declaration of intent resolution for 2468 T-Bout Avenue in the Bronx. And for that, I call on Lauren Congress.
Thank you. As you know, declaration of intent resolutions are solely for tax code purposes, allowing any expenditures incurred by a project's developer within 60 days prior to the date the resolution is passed to be eligible for tax-exempt bond financing. Before HDC were to actually finance a project, the specifics of the transaction will be presented to the members for review and approval. Please refer to the memorandum before you entitled Resolution of Declaration of Intent, 2468 T-Bout Avenue, located in the Bronx, New York. The proposed development consists of the new construction of one building containing a total of 57 residential low-income rental units. It is expected the development will use approximately $29 million in taxes and bonds. The project is to be developed by a single-purpose entity to be formed and controlled by MBD Community Housing Corporation. The members are asked to approve the resolution at this time.
Thank you, Lauren. I will entertain questions and comments. Mr. Mertler.
I will support this because it is a declaration of intent, but I would ask you to give some serious thought before it comes before us for final action, that somebody communicate with developers and the like to make sure that they communicate with the borough president of the Bronx and with the community board involved to let them know what they're doing and why. Doesn't mean it has to have their approval, but it does mean that they should be notified.
Thank you, Mr. Mertler. And that is a pretty strict practice of ours, and I know of HDC's.
Oh, good.
Involvement in these projects here. So we appreciate your perspective on that. And let me just make a brief comment. I know we're coming to an end, but you heard MBD as the development entity, the developer, and that acronym it goes harks back to very ugly days in the Bronx when the Bronx was burning, and an organization called Mid Bronx Desperados was created, and the notion was that things were so bad. It was really an act of desperation, and so that development entity still exists, and they're now building a much better Bronx than from the 1970s.
And Derek Lovett still embodies that spirit.
And Derek Lovett is still there, yes. So, and I guess I need to entertain a motion, right, to approve the declaration.
I think that process started somewhat before 19. Started while
I, yeah. Double motion. I will take one as a second. Mr. Gould will be, Mr. Murdler will be the mover. Any opponents to this? Item on the agenda, which is other business. Does any member have any other business that they would like to present at this time? Hearing none, I will now entertain a motion to adjourn this HDC board meeting.
So move.
Murdler, second. We'll give Mr. Nyblack a second. any opposition to adjourning this meeting? Hearing none, the motion carries. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody, and to all our guests.